sounds interesting. He says, well, what do you want me to do? And they say, one of us will sit on your right hand, the other on the left hand, implying that all the others are down there. Verse 41, when the other 10 heard it, the other 10 were angry at them. So immediately after they all confessed that he is Christ, the Son of the living God, there was division among them. Because they were arguing who he is. Can you imagine, sometimes when people begin to accept a truth, after that they divide. Think about Christianity. All of Christendom, we accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Son of Man. We accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. But in the early days, in the revival, there was argument about predestination and Arminianism within the same camp of Protestantism. And then, when everyone accepted that Jesus is a healer, but the argument is not that Jesus is a healer, but it's how much he is a healer and in what way he is a healer. Some people will disagree that Jesus can heal in any way but laying on a hand. Some would argue that, you know, why should Jesus heal people through handkerchief? Why not laying on a hand? And people would divide into smaller camps because we're arguing on the smaller things about who he is. And then we are going into details of how he should demonstrate who he is. Like the disciples quarreling. Who is the greatest? I mean, he's going to be there. Let's be at the right hand and left hand and all the others left behind. So this argument continued. And the disciples, in chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said to them, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And the disciples were captivated by what they saw of those buildings and those stones and everything, etc. But Jesus pointed to something else that was going to happen. See, they keep coming down to the natural level and Jesus keeps putting them to the spiritual level. Now in chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus makes a statement. All of you shall be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. In other words, all of them will be tested on the revelation that they have received. Made to stumble. The word stumble is scandalizo. Notice something about Mark 4. Keep your hand on Mark 14 and turn to Mark 4, the parable again. It says in verse 17, they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arise, for the word's sake, or translated, because of the word, immediately they stumble. See, when you receive the word in the form of a revelation or something that God shows you about himself, no revelation can get out of God's word. All revelation has to be based on the word. But when you receive the word or the word of his revelation, immediately there will be testing and opportunities for you to be stumbled. The disciples had just been told by the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at it here. Jesus told them what will happen. But it went in one ear and came out the other ear. Jesus told them three times. The first time he told them in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8, the first time he told them that he will be crucified was in Mark chapter 8. When he told them about the cross in verse 31. You see, in verse 31, Mark 8, he began to teach them. But it went in one ear, came out the other ear. They did not understand. They did not accept the way, what he's saying, because it ran against the grain of their old understanding. It was something they never expected. Then Jesus repeated it again in verse 31. Mark 9 verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said to them. So he did give them some sort of teaching. Then in Mark chapter 10 verse 32. The second sentence. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that were happened to him. He had told them this at least 3 times. 3 times before it happened. And yet, it did not sink into them. Because they did not understand what he was saying. Now here, he prophesies in Mark 14 verse 27, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. The reason why they are going to be stumbled, and the word stumble means offended at what happened, is because they did not understand or did not accept how, in what manner, the Jesus who they confessed to was going to operate. Number one, we must accept who God is. Number two, we must accept God's methods of operation. We can struggle, we can fast, we can fight, but let's accept how he wants to operate and how he wants to do it. Like Naaman, we can say, why should I go and dip myself in the dirty Jordan? I have more other better rivers in Syria. Until one of the little soldiers told Naaman that if the prophet had told you to dip 7 times, shouldn't you just go and do it? See, Naaman had limited God. Naaman said, when he was angry at Elisha, Naaman said, I thought the prophet would come out of his cave or house and just stand and pronounce a healing and I'll be healed. You see, what happened? Why was Naaman angry? Why couldn't Naaman accept it at first? Because he could not accept the methodology. The methods that Elisha chose to operate. Instead of all things, Elisha didn't even come out to see him. Elisha sent one of his servants, and the servant said to Naaman, Sir Naaman, and you go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you will be healed. Naaman was furious. In the book of 2 Kings, he was furious. 2 Kings 5, verse 11. Naaman became furious, offended, angry, and he went away. In fact, he may have been riding on his way home to Syria already. And he said, look at what Naaman said. Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place, and then the leprosy will be healed. You see, Naaman had it all figured out. Now, listen carefully. Naaman had accepted the prophet, but he had not accepted the methods of the prophet. The reason why he came all the way from Syria with his leprosy to be healed is because he believed the prophet can heal him. He believed who the prophet was. And when he came and saw prophet Elisha, he had already made up his mind. The prophet is going to come out, stand and pronounce a name, just like a good general should. See his experience. And then he'll come, possibly near that place, and wave his hand over the leprosy. And the leprosy will be cured. Instead, he's saying here, that prophet, he says, verse 12, he says, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? Verse 12, so he turned and went away in anger. He accepted the prophet, but he could not accept the prophet's method. But as he was going away, one of his servants said, "My father, if the prophet told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he just says, wash and be clean?" I don't know when he changed. But as Naaman was going away, those words keep striking him. Why didn't he just follow the prophet's word? What has he to lose? Somehow, they must have turned back, go to the Jordan, dip himself 7 times, got up with his skin clean like a baby, and he was completely whole. All his anger disappeared. Not only his leprosy was washed off, his anger was washed off. Now here are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They accepted who he is, but to accept that he's going to die on the cross and in this manner he's going to manifest his power to us is not easy. Oh, the methods of God, the wisdom of God are beyond our comprehension. And Jesus said all of them will be made to stumble, even though Jesus had repeated it many times, what the Son of Man will do, what the Son of God will do, what the Christ has come to do. It did not occur to them. It was much later. You notice in Mark 14, what Peter did in verse 71. But he began to curse and swear, and says, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And a second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word of the Lord. Then he started weeping. Then in Mark 16, and you thought that the story would be finished in Mark 16, but I want you to examine it very carefully. It's still not complete yet. Verse 5, the women came to the tomb, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be afraid. You see Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, that you will see him as he said to you." And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, I believe that these women had been among the other disciples besides the 12 who keep following Jesus, who also possibly heard those things that Jesus said. Why didn't they rejoice? Why didn't they believe? He said, he told them 3 times, "I'm going to be risen from the dead. I'm going to be risen from the dead. On the 3rd day, I'm going to be risen from the dead." Here he is risen from the dead, and they all got frightened. He had just told them. Then verse 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out whom he had cast 7 demons. Then, good thing, she did something. Verse 10. She went and told those who had been with him. As they mourned and wept. Look at that. As they mourned and wept. They didn't hear what he said, "On the 3rd day I will be risen." They were weeping because, "Oh, Jesus is gone. We don't have Jesus anymore." And when Mary Magdalene came and told them she had seen the Lord, in verse 11, look at their response. Now you know why I follow that theme in the Gospel of Mark, because it still is there in Mark 16. Mark 16:11. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, what was their response? Everyone said they did not believe. Look at that. They did not believe. You would have thought that they would believe and say, "Hooray, hallelujah. Bless God, I knew it was going to be like that." Bible says they didn't believe. They say, "No, Mary, it's your imagination." is just a figment of your imagination. Then verse 12 and 13. He appeared in another form to two of them, that we found in Luke 24, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest. Now I want you to know the effort that these two went to in Luke 24. They were on the way